thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let's join Larry now for this week's lesson.
Jeremiah made a statement in Jeremiah 8, verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. Well, I hope the last part of that statement is not true. I hope that everyone that I'm speaking to this morning is a saved person. But the first part of that statement is certainly true. The summer has ended. Even though the days drag along at 100 plus degrees and fall looks a long way off, still, for all practical purposes, summer's over. It seems like only yesterday when school ended and the kids and the teachers were excited about the summer coming up, but now we're seeing college students pack up and head for their new campuses or get ready to start at Midwestern or wherever they're going. School supplies are being bought. Teachers are getting psyched again to get back into the routine. So summer has ended. Only one remaining holiday. Only one remaining holiday. My birthday. August 28th, gifts will be accepted. I've said that before, you know. Oh, well, there is Labor Day. I forgot about that one. But summer is ended, and now it's time to get back into the groove. Now, this fall is going to be very special for us. I am excited about what's coming up in the fall. Last Sunday, if you'll recall, and if you were here, I preached a sermon, only the Bible, only the Bible. And we put up on the screen this statement, not who says so. That was going to be my sermon, and I changed it. I'm sorry. I need to let somebody know when I change my plans, right? Who says so? Well, that's a good statement. One of these days I'll preach that sermon. It's been a wild few days, folks. I'm sorry. One of the statements I made in that sermon, many books can inform you, but only the Bible can transform you. Only the Bible can transform you. The Bible is unlike any other book in the world or in the history of the world. It's alive. God speaks through those words. And anytime God speaks, as we noticed in the Old Testament, when God speaks, lives are never the same. They are transformed. That is the idea, because of that living word. Transformed when it becomes the authoritative standard for our lives. The authoritative standard for our lives. It is the authority. A statement made many times in the life of Jesus. By what authority do you do these things? Well, it's a good question. We need to ask it. Anytime we hear something, it'd be a good place for that statement. Who says so? Who says so? May sound like a good statement, but is it an authoritative statement? Well, we can depend on it if God said so. We are transformed when the Bible becomes our compass for the direction of our lives, and it can be. Which way do we go? What does God's Word say? We know what culture says, and we know the pressures of culture, but what does God say in terms of the direction that we go? We are transformed when it becomes the counsel for making wise decisions in our lives and the basis for evaluating those decisions. Not the praise of the world, not the accolades from the world, but how does God evaluate our decisions. We are transformed, folks, only by the Bible. Our fall focus is going to be 40 days in the Word. 40 days in the Word. We have been through in this congregation many 40 days campaigns, and they have all blessed us in special ways. In fact, I suspect we can go back and remember ways that a particular 40-day campaign has changed our lives for the better. We may not remember all the little details, but we remember those big changes that were made. Well, we're going to start another 40-day campaign after Labor Day. A healthy disciple feeds on the Word of God. Jesus called it abiding in the Word of God. You'll remember that great statement in John 8:31. If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. Abiding in the Word of God. Not just for increasing knowledge, as I said last week. It's not just for information. It's not just to show off how much we know. It's not just acquiring knowledge so that we can spew it out and maybe impress somebody. You know, receiving the Word, researching the Word, remembering the Word, all of those things are useless unless we apply the Word to the real world. That's abiding. If we fail to put it into practice, it's of no benefit. In fact, that is the very point of what this other great statement from Scripture, James chapter 1, when he said, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Great statement from Scripture, and very true and very practical. This is the nuts and bolts of Christianity. Both knowing and applying is the foundation for the Christian life. Jesus himself said, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and what? Puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." That's where we want our house to be, on the rock. And it can be. So our goal this fall is really a threefold purpose. This 40 days campaign. Number one, to help us again to love the Word. Love the Word. Again, I hate to keep referencing what I said last week, but I'm seeing, I think, more now than ever before, people being enamored by other things besides the Bible. Whether they be monks in a monastery somewhere, or ancient writers of the 3rd or 4th century, suddenly their words are so wise and so insightful. Where have we been that we've missed these words of these mystics? Folks, that's not the source of a vibrant faith. Let us return to a love of the Word of God. It will challenge us for a lifetime. Open those ancient words. Look at those pages. And fall in love again with the precious Word of God. That's one purpose. A second purpose is to learn the Word of God. love the word, but learn the word. You know, one of the great problems, and it's increasing, is biblical illiteracy. People just don't know the Bible. And I realize that that is seen very dramatically when Jay Leno walks the streets of Hollywood and asks the most basic questions on the streets of Hollywood, and they don't know which end is up out there. I'm not surprised about that. What I am surprised about is even among our own number. And again, this is what this is about. I only have the audience of our number. I don't have the audience of other people. Is just no real depth of knowledge among us. Oh, we have vague understandings of doctrines, but I guess when it comes to details, we don't know the difference in a Calvinist and a free will guy. And to many of us, they're all the same. Who cares? Well, there's a big difference. And you better care, because it will determine your growth as a Christian, your outlook on life. So we need to be discriminating. Doesn't hurt to know these other things, but have your faith grounded in the doctrine of Scripture. We need to learn the Word of God. And I'm convinced that it's not, for many people, a case of not caring. It's a case of, well, how do you do it? I mean, this is a big old book here. How do you take that book and, to use a phrase from the old King James, rightly divide it and make any sense out of it? How do you go about doing that? I'd like to do it, but how do I get it down in terms where I can really handle it? Get my mind and get my arms around it. And so that is very much a second purpose. Learn the Word of God. And then finally, to live the Word, as James and as our Lord said. Live the Word. Take that teaching. Take that statement from Scripture. And how does that apply to real life? How does that apply, Russell, to the workplace at Shepherd Air Force Base? How does that apply to the hallways of Midwestern State University? How can that be lived out at Ryder High School? How can that be lived out when the pressures are so great? Now, maybe more than ever, at least in modern history, on the person who claims belief, how can we live it out in a way that's healthy, in a way that will honor God and not just bring reproach as some kind of holier-than-thou person or some know-it-all? No, we don't want to do that. But we want to live out Christianity in a practical way, and it can be done. So 40 days in the Word, love the Word, learn the Word, live the Word. Everyone will receive a 40 days in the Word workbook as we approach the fall. This will be a guide for daily study. If you will budget and resolve, covenant with God, okay, I'm going to spend so much time every day in the Word. God being my helper, and He will be, I am going to study the Word every day. Our small groups will be dealing in the next go-round of small groups, dealing with, again, the nuts and bolts of Bible study. How do we specifically, how do we practically study the Bible in a way that is sound? You know, there are so many unsound ways that people use the Bible. It's incredible. I'll hear statements on the radio or statements some other place about somebody, you know, referring to a Bible passage and how they have misused it is just incredible. You'll even hear preachers misusing Scripture dramatically. Okay, so how do we learn to soundly interpret Scripture? That it's not just propagating some kind of tradition we've held, but is propagating the true message that Christ or Paul or one of the other inspired writers wanted to get across to us. How do we receive that message? God meant it for the common person. Let me tell you something. One of my pet peeves is the idea that you have to have someone knowledgeable to dispense it to you. You've got to have someone with the Hebrew or the Greek to hand feed you and tell you what it means. Listen, that is not correct. God wrote His Scripture for you, and He put it in the language of the marketplace, the original language, the Koine Greek. And shortly after the Bible was written, the language froze in time. It didn't undergo what a lot of languages do and change as English has changed over the years. Oh no, the Koine Greek, the language of the New Testament. You can see God's hand at work in not only the giving of the words of God, but in the transmission of it. That language froze. And so we can go back and study precisely what these men meant by a certain word. And you know, that is reflected in every English translation. You don't have to have the Greek. Our English translations, again, God's hand is in those. And you can read that passage and receive 99.9% of the message God wanted you to have. Now, a Greek scholar or Hebrew scholar might be able to add a little color to it, but you're going to get the message. You have the intelligence, you have the wisdom when you read a passage, especially when you pray, God, help me to receive the message. When you couple that desire with prayer, you'll get the message God wanted you to have. You don't need a priest to dispense it to you. Oh, I love the Word. And I know you'll love the Word. But then another thing we're going to do is provide throughout this 40 days campaign ways to apply what we've been studying. Application. How do you get it out there? How do you use it in the real world? So I'm excited. I think it's going to be one of the best things that we've ever done. And I think it's going to be something that is so needed right now in the history of this church and in the history of the church. We need to get back in the Word.